Well, good morning, everybody. I want to turn over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to start reading at 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. And be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. A lot of meat. Well, that covers about every situation that each and every one of us finds ourselves in any stage of our lives, right? Now, why is he telling us this stuff? Why is he telling us that, wives, you need to obey your husbands? Because we're not good at it. Because you don't do it. Why does he tell us, husbands, love your wives? Because we love ourselves. We need to love them. Right? Children, why is he telling you to obey your parents? Because you're crazy and out of control and you don't. Now, if we do all of these things as unto the Lord, imagine what this body could look like. Imagine what we could be. We could be a witness to a lot of folks out there, right? Now, it starts with each of us making the determination with diligence, that making that choice to actually serve God, right? Now, the way I see it going down in these verses is there's a lot of responsibility on men. There's a lot of responsibility on husbands, right? We got to set the tone. We got to set that mark. Because if we don't, that's not loving to our wives. That's not loving to our children. We need to be right there. You got to set that mark. That way everybody knows what they're responsible for, what's expected of them. How can you please somebody if you don't know what's expected of you? That's why God's telling us what's expected of us. So as men, are we going to step up? Are we going to take charge of our families? Are we going to give direction to our wives? Are we going to guide, teach, nurture our children? I'm going to. I suggest we all do. Because if we do this as unto the Lord, you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. That sounds like a pretty good carrot at the end of that stick, doesn't it? But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. Ouch. That might sting a bit. Now, one thing I didn't mention was servants. Right? Obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart. Fearing God. right? You go into work, even if you're a man, even though you're head of your own house, you go into work and you are a servant to your employer. You're to serve that employer with singleness of heart. Not necessarily fearing the employer that's standing there before you, but fearing God. If you serve that employer heartily as unto the Lord, there's going to be some folks around, you know, your workplace. They're going to call you names. Oh, he's a brown noser. Oh, look at him. He's just trying to suck up. That's what you see in the world. They're trying to tear you down. But what's it matter to you? Because you're not there to please them. They're to please God. Yeah, I know sometimes, this just came to me. I'm going to go ahead and say we. Because I think that this is just a human thing. This is a person thing. We lose heart. Right? We're trying to serve. We're trying to do what we can. We think that we're really trying. But we see somebody else, and we think they're doing it better. And we think what they're doing is pretty good. And it gets us down, you know? We're like, I can't do it. I mean, what's the point? When you find yourself there, I mean, you're measuring yourself against what you think the standard might be, when in fact we should be measuring ourselves against Jesus, against this Word. Now, just because we see something or other folks are saying, wow, he's doing a great job, I mean, does that mean that the Lord thinks it's a great job? May or may not, right? So if we just keep that focus, that singleness of heart, that single eye, and we're just serving Him in every way we can, we can't go wrong. We've been talking a lot about God didn't call us to fail. Right? Each of us finds ourselves in unique situations. Some of us are husbands, some of us are wives, many of us are parents. Each and every one of us is a person. Jesus Christ died on that cross for each and every one of us. He gave us that opportunity of salvation. Are we going to reach out and grab it? Flip over to 1 Timothy 6:1 quick. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Now in this ministry, we got a lot of ministers. Maybe not a lot. But we've got disciplers. We've got folks that are learning. We've got brothers and sisters. If we're going to serve each other as a body of Christ, with love one to another, that's another aspect, but we need to do this heartily as unto the Lord. If you offer somebody some help, well, I'll come over and help you mow your lawn, or, you know, clean your kitchen, or, you know, whatever that is. You need to go over there And you clean that kitchen, you mow that lawn, and you do it as if it is Jesus Christ Himself's lawn, kitchen, laundry, whatever that is. And you take care of it, and you get it done. And when you see circumstances starting to arise, things starting to come up, you stay above the circumstance. We see over in, what is it, Matthew, I think it's chapter 14, we were talking about it the other night, where Peter sees Jesus walking on the water, and he says, "Lord, if that be you, bid me come," right? And he says, "Yeah, come." So Peter starts walking out on the water. Then the next thing you know, starts sinking. What happened? He got his eyes on the circumstances around him. Right? He started thinking about the other things that were going on in the boat. He started thinking about the water. He started thinking about the rain and the wind and, well, I'm standing on water. This is bad. Right? He got sucked into them circumstances. I mean, these are the same circumstances that we have in the workplace. Right? These are the same things that we have in our households. Got to get away from all this. But what did he do? He said, "Lord, help me." And as soon as he said that, boom, Jesus was there with his hand out and lifted him up. Lifted him up. It's important to know that. The Lord is at hand. He is here. He is ready, willing, and able to lift each and every one of us up. All we gotta do is ask. So let's move forward this week. All right? Husbands, let's love our wives. Wives, obey your husbands. Children, let's see if we can obey our parents. Let's do this thing. Let's start moving forward. When we see these circumstances come up, ask, "Lord, help me." And when He reaches out, take His hand. Receive that help. And let's keep moving forward.
What I find is there's another aspect to that as well. There's another aspect of that as well. You know, the Lord set up in His church a line of authority. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And what you find is a lot of time is in the circumstance, "Yeah, Lord, help me." But how far are you willing to go to get that help? See, it's one thing, I mean, what we would like a lot of times, I tell you what I would like a lot of times is for me to just say, "Lord, help," you know, and He's sitting with me in a car and talking with me and walking right beside me and I could see Him and, oh boy, that, I mean, you know, if I walked in my workplace with Jesus in the sense of Him physically there next to me, oh joy. Oh joy. Hey, I know Jesus has got something to say to get us all straight, you know? But what did Scott talk about? The Lord is at what hand? But by kind of going off the trail there for a second there. But I know for me, a lot of times when circumstances and issues that come up, yes, I act in the midst of what I'm dealing with. A situation might come up with work that is very uncomfortable, but I know I'm to make a stand. And a lot of times I don't do it correctly. But I do it anyways. And the Lord shows up. But what do? I call up Steve. I'll call up Steve. Like, Steve, man, this is the situation, man. This is where I'm at. This is what I'm struggling with. This is what I'm battling with, man. You got some words or advice or anything? This is what I'm facing. And see, a lot of times what that takes on our part is what? Humility, doesn't it? I mean, one, you gotta sit there and you gotta reveal unto the person you're under discipleship with what you're going through. And where you're really at. An honest report of really where you're at, because those are things we don't want people to see, right? You gotta keep that hidden. I'm a tough guy, I mean, I don't struggle. Right? Don't we do that? I know I have. But no, man, if I really want to get that correction, if I really want to get that advice, or get that direction, whatever the case may be, no, man, I'm going to come to him and say, I'm struggling with this. And you know, I know I'm in the wrong place in this. But what happens with that? I mean, our God's a loving Father. Does He come down and go, oh, how dare you? Prison and chains for the next 5 years. No. No, that's not our God. He wants us free from that. He wants us to rise above the circumstance. He wants us to be like Peter, walking on the water. That's what He wants. But see, it takes humility on our part. Because when I call Steve, it's not all about Steve. And I'm not looking to Steve, I'm looking to Jesus in Steve. To give me that correction, that advice, that whatever the case may be at the time. To get me through to the other side. I had a situation this past week and I had to do the same thing. Exact same thing. I mean, it was a double whammy. Huge situation. Might not be big for others, but for me it was huge. Huge situation I was stepping into, something I really didn't want to face. And not only that, I was just really not wanting to deal with anything at the time. Anybody been in that? But of course, at that time, out of all times, was the time that I needed to face a circumstance that was way too big for me. Now, I could have went my own way and tried to handle the things myself, but to be honest with you, I don't think it would have turned out that great. So what did I do? I got on the horn. I called in the airstrike. I needed it. I seen enemies all around me. The circumstance overwhelming. I seen those waves and the wind blustering around me. And it was really nothing that could take me down. But in my mind, I was in chains and in bondage to that thing. But what happened was I went about Jesus' way and sought the Lord, and He delivered mightily. Mightily. Above I can ask or think. And that situation turned 180 degrees around to the glory of God. Once again, it revealed to me His character and His nature and His loving kindness upon us. And once again, it glorified Him and what He was able to do to others around. But you see what we need to do is actually be in that place of humility to be able to come forward. We ask that prayer like David said, Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Right? Now in that process, it looks pretty darn ugly. In that process, we can see the faults and the errors and the things that's in there that's not of Him. But because we can see those things, yet we can cast those things off and watch Him deliver and watch Him move mightily. Amen. Because He's good. And see, there's only one way. And I remember Ricky preaching on this years ago, and I think some of you at the time probably remember it too. Jesus is the way, and His way is the only way. Amen. You know, Scott's talking about His way, and that way is the only way. But another aspect of that is that line of authority. See, what happens a lot of times is that we people go around, and this happens with the church, and this has happened with the church, and it's what has killed the church today. Is they don't even recognize the line of authority. They don't even see it. They've already casted out the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists. What is it now? It's just pastors and deacons now? And teachers? They don't even recognize it. And then what happens is the power of God leaves because they're not about His business. They're not about His will. They're about their own way. The Lord can't honor another way. Because that's going to point people where? The wrong direction. The wrong direction. But it's just amazing when you come under obedience and just humble yourself. Be honest with yourself and be honest with the Lord. What He's able to do and what He's able to accomplish. And what He'll be able to accomplish right here in this body. Right here in this body. We want to see the Lord move, right? Or we say we want to see the Lord move. Right? But are we willing to do that, what it takes for Him to move? And it all comes down to what? Not my will be done, Lord, but Yours. Isn't that what Jesus did? Every single day when He was here walking. And at the end became obedient unto death. It was kind of interesting. We were going over a Bible study last night and it was in John. And I think I'm going to turn there real quick. And in John 12:24 it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Jesus was the first example of that. And without Him being did what He did, we would not have hope. We would not have a chance. We would not have life. But you see Him actively doing that every day of His life. And we ought to be doing the same thing. Dying to ourselves so that others may live. Because if we're all about our own business and our own thing and our own way, who's going to see the love of Christ? Who's going to see it? If we're His body now, and we're not about doing that, what good is it? It's good for nothing. It's good for nothing. Because it's only by His love, His Spirit, His will, His way, that it does anybody any good. Scott, you said something else as well. You said something about how as humans we look at others and seeing, oh man, how great that is, or whatever the case may be. And, you know, it says it's not wise to compare amongst ourselves one another, and messing that up, but praise God. But the thing is, you know what? The wife's ministry is not going to look like the husband's ministry. The children's ministry is not going to look like the wife's ministry. We all point to the same thing. Jesus Christ and Him crucified and resurrected again. And what He has done. I mean, take a look at the stars at night. We ought to be lights in the world. We're spread across the whole sky. In darkness, little lights. That's how we're to be in the world. World is dark. It's cursed. But the Lord placed each of those stars in a certain place, didn't He? That's how it is for us. Imagine if they were grouped up in one little section. We looked outside, all we seen was a moon and a group of stars. Wouldn't do anybody much good, especially back in the day when you took direction from that. It's the same with us. But the Lord is big, and I don't care how, what your struggles are, or your shortcomings, or any of those things. He's bigger than all of those things. That's what He's died for. That's what He's died for. And that's what we point to. I mean, our testimonies aren't one of, oh my gosh, we did things so right. No. It's, we did things so wrong, and I turned unto Jesus Christ, and He saved me. Amen. This day, the testimony that I'm giving you of Stephen, the deliverance of the hand of the Lord and going about His way, is a testimony of me not doing it, the things right. Because my perspective was off, and I had lost focus, and I started just like Peter, looking at the wind and the waves and the... And me sinking. But I'm here to testify that the Lord is bigger than that. And if He's big enough for me, He's definitely big enough for you and your situation. And we need to grab a hold of that and not let go of it. And if we have a struggle, if we have a situation, we be not afraid to humble ourselves, go to our disciples, and get direction, get the deliverance, get the chastisement, whatever it is that we need at that time. And receive it. And receive it. That's the next part. That's our choice. See, once we make the choice to humble ourselves and get that which we need, the next step is to choose to humble ourselves and actually do it. And actually do it. And then He will move mightily. And we do it as faith in Him. With the faith that He had in Himself. To complete that which is good. Remember the Bible study that we had where it talked about with David, and it was Tuesday night, and it was a beautiful thing that David said, and I loved what David said. He says, look at that, the deceitfulness of sin. He said, the deceitfulness of sin. And what was that deceitfulness of sin? It was a thing that God's not big enough. That your screw up and you are bigger than God's grace. That's a lie. And that He will do what He says. See, that's kind of hard to believe because we know how we are, right? We say we're going to do a thing all the time and we don't do it. So what do? We put that on God. Oh, we heard from our parents or we heard from others that they're going to go do a thing and they didn't do it. But see, that's not our Lord. That's not our God. He has done it. He has performed it. And He has finished that work. So let's go walk in that victory, amen. And let's take hold and heed to the blessings that surround us in His way that we have laid out before us. Amen.
Well, good morning. The thing that keeps hitting me out of both Scott and Phil. Let me say this first. Phil said something about it would be neat to be walking in to work, you know, arm in arm with Jesus, right? That'd be great. Philippians 4:5 says, the Lord is at hand, which Scott and both Phil brought up. When He walks into work, He is there. Philip bringing Him in there with Him. And that ought to change our perspective. When Lisa goes to Walmart, she's walking into Walmart with Him. And that's what I'm saying. That's the way it works. And you know, you can go back to John 15, read about abiding in the vine. Can read about putting on the whole armor. You read about put on the Lord Jesus Christ. When you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in Him. But what we're kind of banging around the edges of here is there's a command structure in the workforce. There's a command structure in each branch of government. There's a command structure in the military, there's a command structure in the church. And Scott was talking about out of the family. There's a command structure in the family. And one of the reasons why children need to obey their parents, As you have taught them to obey the parents, yourself, as you have taught them to obey you, their success or failure is, well, hopefully their success is ensured at being able to navigate the other command structures. The command structure in the workforce, the command structure in the church. Parents, the whole process of parenting, they have you at hand. They come to you for guidance. They trust you for their provision. And to the degree that you successfully convey to them the character and nature of your Heavenly Father, you are preparing them to enter in and become soldiers in the kingdom. If they can learn how to obey you, they stand a chance by seeing your modeling of your obeying of the Father. He can't see. They have a chance at being able to do the same. But if you're all about yourself and don't care anything about your children, then you let them do whatever you want, whatever they want. But that's not how we're instructed to here in the Bible. But that's the whole reason for what's written here in Colossians 3 and 4. Not because we have this authoritarian Father in heaven who's like beaten, wanting to beat us down into submission. He wants our submission, but he wants us to offer it to him, not just have him take it. He could do that. But you would rather have the submission of your children, of your family, by their choice rather than by your force. Right? It's a demonstration of their love for you. It's evidence that they have gotten out of themselves, and it's not all about them anymore. It's all about pleasing dad or pleasing mom. You set them up to learn, have a servant's heart. They're there to serve the parents, not the parents. You're supposed to be teaching them how to serve you. To prepare them to serve the Lord. There was one other thing. If I can remember what it was, it would be nice. The one thing before where Scott started in Colossians was put on charity. That too is a choice. And the command structures parallel one another. But if you want to succeed in the kingdom, then you don't take what the church has done and only acknowledge the pastors and teachers. And even that they have in the wrong order. The teachers have the honor, and the pastors are just the workers. And all this means that we're coming together and doing a thing for a unified purpose. And that unified purpose is the King of Heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. You're being prepared to be one of the Lord's army. That's why the command structures are so important. We are learning to be obedient. Eventually, however many times it takes. You need to get that. This is an opportunity here to get that right. Because it's going to be a matter of life and death. Continually. When you come back as the army of God. That's why all of His provisions here, why all of His teachings here, that's why we're here and that's what we're doing. In exhorting one another and speaking the truth to one another and singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to one another. Provoking one another to righteousness and good works. It's what we're doing here. Don't be confused. And parenthetically, and for the record, I insert, you know, Ephesians 4, where the command structure is explained for the church. All right, now I'm just filibustering. I'm still trying to remember what I wanted to address about what Scott said. Maybe I'll remember it by the next time we do a thing. The Lord is good. And this all comes back to He hasn't brought us this far to have us fail. You don't have to fail. Ever. But however many times you get something wrong, you have an opportunity yet, for now, to get it right. That's not failing. That's learning. And we see in, you know, Romans 5, we talked about glory and tribulation. Tribulation is not a whole lot different than the athlete training to do an athletic event where they go through an obstacle course. It's trying. And I tried like heck, but I kept knocking over those barricades, all the way, whatever you call those things. Not hurdles. Knocked them down one after another, man. I got every one of them. Turns out that's not how they score success there, but I was really good at that. The Lord is good. Trust in the Lord. He is as close as your hand. And if you have problems and you need help, the help is in place. And we will guide you to what you need to know. Individually, necessary. The Lord is at hand. And that's part of the way He's at hand. His ministers are here. Not for themselves, for Him. And for His people. I'm done.